From the Financial Times in London, I'm Jennifer Thompson and this is FT News. Revelations that American tech entrepreneur Peter Thiel has taken New Zealand citizenship as a kind of hedge against the collapse of the capitalist system has shone a spotlight on the phenomenon of disaster planning by the super rich and on the attractions of New Zealand as a potential haven. On the line with me to discuss this is Jamie Smith, our correspondent in Sydney. Hello, Jamie. How did the news emerge that super-rich Americans like Peter Thiel are preparing a New Zealand bolt hole?
Well, this really emerged by chance when a reporter for the New Zealand Herald was investigating how Peter Thiel had managed to buy a house on sensitive land in New Zealand. And typically a foreign citizen, if they want to buy such a property, would need approval from the Overseas Investment Office. But the office revealed that Mr. Thiel didn't need disapproval as he was already a citizen. In fact, he had been a citizen since 2011. So this caused a huge controversy in New Zealand. And then under pressure, the government then was forced to reveal that 91 other individuals had been granted citizenship under what they call an extraordinary circumstances clause. And this allows the Minister for Internal Affairs to waive normal residency rules. So over the last 5 years, we've seen about 92 individuals who have been granted citizenship like this.
And what are New Zealand's attractions for the super rich?
Well, New Zealand really is a beautiful country. It has got spectacular scenery, and it became very popular with wealthy foreigners ever since the Lord of the Rings movies brought it to global attention in the early 2000s. But what seems to be happening now is people are being attracted to the fact that it's really quite far away from global trouble spots in what seems to have become a much more uncertain world of late. So it's been reported that several billionaires from the Silicon Valley have bought up properties as a sort of form of insurance in case the world goes to hell, basically. And we had this guy, Reid Hoffman, the co-founder of LinkedIn, who was reported by The New Yorker magazine as saying that buying a house in New Zealand was a kind of wink-wink, say no more, among the survivalist community in the Silicon Valley. But it's quite unclear as to just how many billionaires are buying up properties. They like to keep these things quite secret, and it could be that they're just trying to take advantage of what is a very stable investment and political climate in New Zealand and a country which is quite open to foreign investment.
Do we have any detail on the kind of properties they're buying and for how much? Because we know that New Zealand house prices have soared astronomically in the last couple of years.
That's right. They have certainly soared in cities like Auckland. However, of course, if you're a billionaire from Silicon Valley, that's not such a problem. So these super rich clients seem to be buying two different types of properties. One side would be luxury properties that they can use as a holiday home. And then for these billionaires that may be seeking some sort of an insurance policy, they're what real estate agents call self-sufficient estates or sustainable properties, which tend to have their own water supplies, food supplies, and even energy. So, for example, Peter Thiel paid 14.5 million New Zealand dollars for a 193-hectare estate with views over Lake Wanaka in the South Island in 2015. He's also got another smaller property in Queenstown. And I think the general price range tends to be over one of these luxury properties, about 5 million New Zealand dollars and above.
And of course, the South Island of New Zealand is particularly spectacular around those bits. But Peter Thiel, I mean, he's been a slightly controversial character of late. You know, the PayPal co-founder came out in support of Donald Trump. And I wonder, Jamie, could you give us a little bit more detail on other investments he's made with the help of the New Zealand government?
Well, that's right. So as part of his application to become a citizen of New Zealand, he pledged to become a partner with the New Zealand government in a venture capital fund there. And he also donated some money to the earthquake recovery fund to do with the Christchurch earthquake in 2011. And his investment with Valar Ventures, that's his venture capital fund, he put money into, I think, a couple of different New Zealand technology firms, including one called Xero. And those investments actually did quite well. And what seems to have emerged is that there was a buyout clause put in within this partnership agreement between the state venture fund and Valar Ventures, which enabled Thiel to buy out his investment from that partnership. And this netted him tens of millions of dollars, whereas the fund only got just over $1 million. So that's created quite a bit of controversy over in New Zealand, where there's already been some question marks over this passports for sale scandal.
More broadly, what do New Zealanders think of all this? I mean, not just Mr. Thiel's activities, but also other members of the super rich global elite coming to their country. Are they, you know, welcoming of extra investment, or is this upsetting anyone?
Well, from talking to some people over there and reading the newspapers, there seems to be quite a divided opinion on this, with some people and certainly the technology entrepreneurial community very much in favour of attracting these type of very rich, wealthy investors into the country to try and kickstart a technology sector in the country. So there's some support of that, and the government have remained very supportive of this scheme. However, the opposition Labour Party have criticised it. They've said that this is akin to selling your citizenship and passports for sale. They've called for an inquiry and called for a change in the law. So it's very much divided New Zealand, and New Zealand's a country with quite a feeling for egalitarianism. So the whole idea of rich billionaires from abroad coming over and using the country as some sort of insurance policy against apocalypse, I think that's generally attracted some negative opinion. However, the idea that rich people should be allowed and encouraged to come in and invest in the country is something that still retains broad support.
Do you think there'll be a change in policy on the part of the New Zealand government?
I think the current government, led by the Nationals, is very unlikely to change course, because that would be some sort of admission that it had done something wrong, either in handling these citizenship requests or in setting up the partnership with Thiel on the venture capital fund. So I think they're unlikely to change. But actually, we have an election coming up in New Zealand in September. So there is a prospect that the Labour Party could take power. And if that happened, then certainly I think we're likely to see some sort of review into the citizenship rules, and there could be some winding back of these exceptional circumstances clauses.
So this could generate further headlines later in 2017. And of course, we may see more high profile Americans heading to the land of the long white cloud. Jamie, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.